Ohio seniors, it's time to make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Plans start at $0 per month and include $0 doctor visits and $0 generic prescription drugs. Visit medmutual.com/review or call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. MedMutual Advantage plans are HMO, HMO, POS, and PPO plans offered by Medical Mutual of Ohio with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in a MedMutual Advantage plan depends on contract renewal.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seeing a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Welcome back to Crypts of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mystery.
And I'm Jay Clone 61.
Are you seaworthy?
Yes.
What's your best Australian accent?
Crikey.
Yeah, that's good.
I don't know. I tried to just envision Steve Irwin. What we call... it's just going to get bad.
Be either Crocodile Hunter or Crocodile Dundee.
Yeah. Well, that's not annoying.
Or Aboriginal.
I can't do one of them.
I don't think... Of all the time I've watched all these Australian documentaries, I've heard Aboriginal people talk 4 times for like 3 seconds. They're very much a... Mind their own.
I could probably sing like them. And then the didgeridoo going.
The didgeridoo is pretty cool.
Hey,
I don't know if they sing like that.
Kind of, yeah. I watched this Aboriginal documentary.
Is it the old one?
Oh, yeah.
The black and white one?
No, not that one.
There is one of those where he became like one of the first Aboriginal models. I can't think of his name.
Oh, actual model.
Like an actual American model.
Gotcha. No, this is like a more modern one, probably in the 90s or 2000s, and it's just really neat. Because it translates
the oldest active culture on the planet. Excuse me.
And they translate like the elder of the tribe, whatever, talks to them all, and it's all translated.
That's awesome.
It's really neat.
I love our Australian listeners. I love the continent of Australia.
Mm-hmm.
I love the culture. Like I said, the Aboriginals are like one of the oldest written languages.
Yeah,
as far as. The pictographs and stuff like that. I think they 44,000 years or something like that.
A long time.
They should ask them about the Younger Dryas event.
Right. Yeah. They might know something a thing or two.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, these weird discs landed and everybody got on them. We wanted to stay. They never landed here because it's Australia.
Good.
Everything went to, you know.
We should all want to stay here. We don't want to get on ships and go into outer space.
Unless you're in Chicago.
Well, that's a different story. That is pretty much outer space. Or a deserted wasteland.
All right. How's that for a cold opening?
Yeah, there you go.
Let's talk about the new Patreon members, Obang.
Obang!
And that is how you pronounce his name. I got confirmation.
Wow.
He's a trout fisherman, and he may be helping us plan our Patreon trip for 2025 in the summer.
Wow.
New news, the Living UFOs book I've been working on should be close to being done. It's in the final edit before it goes to the art pass and everything like that. It's really, I'm super excited about it. It'll be available on our website. We should have it in time for Crypticon. So if you want one signed or whatever, we should have,
Woo-hoo.
A handful of copies at Crypticon. Also, speaking of conferences coming up, Crypticon.
CryptidCon's coming up soon.
Last one of the year.
Yes, it is for us.
Mm-hmm.
Giorgio will be there.
Yeah, I literally am so ready to cut my hair.
Yeah, wait till GC Giorgio.
I know. I'm going to spike it. Like, not spike it. I'm going to poof it as tall as it'll go. That way I can get a picture with him and have taller hair.
And you both do the hands thing.
Yeah. I don't talk with my hands. Like, mine are always moving.
I'll try to get a snapshot.
He's always
of
like
you.
He's holding the box.
Yeah. I'll try to get a snapshot of you both doing it. What if you're both conversating and you both happen
probably to end up beating somebody up on accident?
You're going to end up making the same hand. Yeah, exactly. Hopefully no one walks in between
you guys. I've never seen him in person or really next to anybody I know.
Neither. I heard he's 8 foot tall.
So, well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know how like tall or short. Like, I don't know. On TV, he looks like a shorter person.
Okay.
But it's TV, right?
Yeah, you don't know.
Like, we don't know. All right. Anything else front of the house you can think of?
No.
The Jamboree hasn't happened yet for us. It happened a couple of weeks ago for you people. Hopefully you enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun for us, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
No, actually, it's like 2 days before right now, and we're stressed out.
Yeah, a lot of anxiety. But it's going to be good. It's going to be fun.
But we're still here delivering new episodes.
We're still recording. So we're super excited about all that. I'm trying to think of any other really front of house stuff. Be on the lookout. We're going to start announcing some live shows for 2025. There's a couple in the works. As of this recorded, some of them may be announced by this recorded. It's the checkcrimsacorn.com to get your tickets for live shows across the country next year.
That's right.
All right. You ready to rock and roll?
Yes.
The Moreton Bay Sea Serpent.
Moreton Bay. So I'm guessing that's in Australia?
Yes. It's near Brisbane.
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 Well, okay.
It is pronounced, I believe, Brisbane.
I have no idea. That's why I just defaulted immediately.
Located on the east coast of Australia, 8.5 miles from Brisbane, Queensland, it sits along 78-mile-long, 22-mile-wide Moreton Bay.
Mm, is this where all that salt comes from?
Moreton salt?
I'm joking.
Known as the Lagoonal Bay. Do you know why we call it Lagoonal Bay?
Because it's in a lagoon?
You know what a lagoon is?
It's like a bay. I don't know.
So a bay is like a cut-in of, a cut-in from the ocean.
Okay.
That is open.
Okay.
So like half of it, let's say, is open to the open ocean.
Right.
A lagoon is mostly closed off with a small opening.
Okay.
So you still have a big pocket of water from the ocean, but it's got a much smaller opening. So okay. Lagoons a lot of times are safer.
Right.
A lagoonal bay is the mix between. The reason it's called Lagoonal Bay is it has a giant barrier reef in front of it. So it, even though it's open like a bay, it does have a feature that is stopping a lot of the open ocean violence from coming in.
So it acts as a lagoon.
Yeah.
A lagoonal bay.
A lagoonal bay. It has barrier islands and reefs and stuff like that to stop open waters. Moreton Bay sports a wide range of corals and varieties of shallow. Most of the water is only about 22 feet deep, which is perfect for growing multitudes of life.
Wow, okay.
It is home to every kind of animal from dolphins and sharks, dugongs, turtles, large lobsters, and over 8 species of whale, including 2 really cool visitors. You got a guess?
Beaked.
No, they don't come into the bay. I mean, if you see a beaked whale into a bay, it's
What was that? Bottlenosed whale?
Bottlenosed beaked whale, yeah.
Beaked whale, yeah. None of them?
It would be dead.
Oh, okay, darn it.
Because they dive like 3, 4, 5, 6,000 feet down.
Okay, so not
22.
Pilot whales.
That is a good guess. It's actually your close cousin, orcas.
Oh, okay.
And the blue.
Wow, the blue whale is in 20 foot of water.
Yeah, they come in every once in a while. We talk about with humpback whales in Florida a lot, where they'll come into some shallow water, or shallow for them.
Right.
And basically, little fish, and the warm water feels good on their skin. You know, blue whales are almost exclusively open ocean animals.
Right.
So every once in a while, they do come in for, like, I think of it as a little spa day.
Oh, nice. Get their barnacles picked off them.
You imagine, and people do not get how big a blue whale is compared to other whales. Compared to anything, you know what I mean?
Right. It's just, how big are they again? Give them a refresher.
The biggest specimen we have accurately measured was a dead one that the whalers had killed, 121 feet, I believe.
That's unbelievable.
500,000 pounds.
How do you kill that?
You stab it a whole bunch until it bleeds to death.
You keep spearing it? Lord, it's so brutal.
Days.
That's just awful.
It's whaling is horrible.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, they're 5 to 6, or they're 3 times the length of most humpbacks and about 5 to 10 times the weight.
That's craziness.
And that's one of the giant biggest animals ever.
Yeah.
So they're just, you don't get, like, I just imagine sitting in a boat and seeing humpbacks, come through every once in a while and stuff like that. And then a blue whale comes through. Just absolutely massive. The bay has been recognized as an area of international significance and is protected as an Australian national park.
Wow, good.
Due to the abundance of amounts of wildlife, the generally it's calm in warm blue waters, the presence of over 360 islands, Moreton Bay is a major recreational area which is used by Australians year-round. So, of course, it should have a monster within it.
Naturally.
So that's the Moreton Bay sea serpent we're going to talk about. So what do you think so far? Australia's got some of the most amazing wildlife areas in the world, some of the most amazing wildlife in the world, and some of the most amazingly untouched places still exist.
It's like a whole new world.
Yeah. So I'm just saying that it's one of the last, like, we talked about in the Australian rainforest with the monsters in there and stuff like that.
The most unexplored rainforest
in the world.
In the world, yeah.
The top three are all in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think so far about Moreton Bay?
It sounds nice. I would like to take a couple jet skis down there and cruise around.
I don't think they let you have... I'm going to guess they don't... Well, they may. It depends on the area in the park, I'm sure. Because wildlife hitting wildlife with jet skis is probably frowned upon.
Well, I mean...
Dugongs are not friendly, just so everybody knows.
They're not?
No, they will drown you.
The Pokemon?
No, Dugong the animal.
Oh, okay.
The mantis cousin?
Yeah.
Everybody... People... The problem is people get around mantis and be like, oh, that's so cool, you can swim with mantis and... Mantis are pretty docile. Like, even if they grab you, you can be like, all right. Like,
what will a dugong do to you?
Hold you down until you die.
Oh, okay. That's pretty mean. That is
plus
nice.
Some other activities we won't talk about on a family-friendly show.
Oh, okay. Like,
they're things... up there with dolphins. They're up there with dolphins.
That. There we go. Okay.
But the problem is that people are like, oh, mantis.
Dang mammals.
Not mantis. Not mantis. So the first official report of this monster came from... Oh, before I continue, I got most of this from Adam Benedict's website, Pine Bearings Institute. Look up Adam's website and please buy his books. They're also, I have every one of his books. They're amazing. He does good work. I just wanted to give credit where credit's due. The first report came from January of 1960. Although another sighting took place of December of 1959, the creature was dubbed the Moreton Bay, its very own Loch Ness Monster. Seen by three witnesses, Ron, Janet, and their friend John. Their husband and wife and their friend John, all of them were 22 to 21 at the time.
Okay.
While on the boat fishing, the creature was encountered nearly 2 miles offshore, but still within the bay's waters. Ron stated that while in the water, a large brownish black head, nearly 2 foot wide, surfaced from below the water and rose up nearly 3 feet, not far from their boat. The unknown creature appeared to look in the area for a moment before spotting them. So it popped up and was looking around.
Like a periscope.
And then it turned around, seen them, and was like, oh, there's people here. It quickly dived back below the surface, causing a huge splash. So the people, it didn't, from this you can already kind of tell, it didn't know the people were there. Once it seen the people, it was like, oh.
Like, oh boy.
We got to get out of here. Startled and slightly scared, the trio made their way back to shore. But the creature would not allow them to go unaccompanied.
Ooh, it followed them?
Every so often, the head would break the surface of the water again, except this time it would be closer with every appearance, slowly closing in on the trio. Ron stated that the creature seemed more curious than anything about what the boat was, like it was almost trying to get a really good look at the three passengers.
Okay.
The thing eventually stopped surfacing them and swam away when they got closer to shore in shallow water. It was described as having a wide, flat head, brownish black skin with lumps like that of a toad, bar set eyes with really no visible neck. When they talk about the neck, they mean it was right after the head, it was a very thick animal.
Okay.
But a discernible head.
Right.
So when we get later to the end, we start talking about oceanic life and stuff like that. And you look at whales, you know, they don't really have a head or neck.
No, it's just one thing.
It's they're a big tube. It's right. The front of their body.
A tube with some flippers off it.
A few days later after the sighting, the December sighting, another witness stated that this they sighted the creature while out in the waters near Deception Bay, January 1st, 1960.
Ooh.
There's some really cool names.
Deceiving.
A man by the name of Mr. Nigel Tutt claimed while fishing with two other people, his daughter Chloe and her friend Joy, a brownish-black creature that resembled an 18-foot-long eel rose almost 4 feet out of the water. It stared at them before it dove back underneath the surface. This occurred at a distance of less than 8 feet from the boat, and 20 feet of water.
Okay. That's pretty close.
And it's a very big animal that was just kind of looking at him.
Yeah.
Looking at him.
I mean, 8 feet's not far.
No, I mean, you should be able to know what it is.
You're right, exactly.
Especially these are all native, like these people live here, right?
Right. So they're not tourists.
These people see whales. They see, you know, this bay is full of wildlife.
Right.
So this is strange enough that they're like, well, I don't know what that thing was.
This doesn't fit in the box.
Only this time, So like a previous sightings, the creature was described as having a wide, flat head with far-set eyes. Only this time, the witness stated that they are able to see a wide, almost fish-like mouth, like that of a catfish.
Okay.
But with a series of what seemed to be small fin-like shapes that spread out along the side of the body.
Okay.
So a bunch of like tiny little fin-like things that were going down the length of the body.
Okay. I think I can picture that in my head.
So big round body, big black head, neck, wide, flat face, far-set eyes. So like the eyes are on each side of the head.
Okay.
Got it?
I think so. It's like a mud skipper.
It could be how you could picture it. After the second report, more witnesses began to come forward with their own sightings of the Moreton Bay Sea Serpent. After a few days, the local newspaper ran a story of Mr. Tut's sighting. The man by the name of Dave and his wife stated that while on vacation, his mother, the pair had spotted the creature while fishing near Skirmish Point. While standing along the shoreline, the two witnesses were easily able to see a serpent-like creature break the surface of the water nearly 20 yards out. The creature then started to swim in an undulating motion. This is up and down along the shoreline. That's very important for later. Diving and resurfacing sporadically as it went. Amazed by what they were seeing in the water, the pair followed the creature on foot as it swam parallel for the shore for nearly a mile before they eventually grew tired and returned for their gear.
Okay.
So they were walking along the beach following this thing, going up and down, like up a wave. And down, up and down. Like a wave, but it was going parallel with the beach.
Right, yeah.
Almost like it was playing with them. It may not know when they were there or whatever, but they went for about a mile, and they're like, okay, you know, it's time to head back.
Keep going, yeah. But,
What?
No, I just had a thought what it could be already.
Like the previous witness, Mr. Manners described the creature as having a large, flat head and a body that was easily 2 foot wide.
Okay.
Brownish-black skin. And an easy length of 18 feet. But unlike the other witnesses, Dave and his mother were able to study the creature for more than a few seconds. Along with the standard features, they described a creature having a wide, flat nostrils.
Okay.
And odd-looking fin-like shapes that appeared not very far below the head.
Okay. Fin-like. Okay. I'm still not putting anything in my head.
No ideas? You're going to feel really stupid in a minute.
Frilled gilled shark, six-gilled shark, or six.
Very many different animals you just said at one time.
Okay. There's something on there. What
there's
am I thinking?
Frilled shark.
That's one. Okay.
And there's a six-gilled shark.
Which one's the really old one?
The frilled sharks.
Yeah, it's them.
Or they may not even be sharks. They're that old.
There you go. It's what it is.
You think it is?
No.
We don't even know how big. We can talk about those guys later. We don't even know how big they actually get. The ones that we've seen in Australia and Japan, I think, are around like 6 foot long, 5 foot long.
I've heard reports like this when they get up to 18 feet.
25 feet.
And they parallel beaches.
They start breathing fire later.
Yeah.
You don't know where the story goes.
Well, I know, but that was quite the twist.
For the next few months, reports of the creature from Moreton Bay are few and far between.
Oh, okay.
So we have a period that stops. But we have, like, December and January sightings.
So flaps.
We have a cluster in December and January.
So migration.
Maybe.
What do you mean maybe? Of course it is.
Or maybe things are just more active.
Maybe.
Like muscles at the bottom.
Maybe.
It was a giant muscle.
Yeah.
They have eyes. Remember? Well, the snails, sea snails.
The snails do, yeah.
The giant sea snail.
Those are pretty cool. The conches?
Mm-hmm.
Conch eyes. Not sea snails, but.
Conch.
What?
You said it like, never mind.
Multiple conches.
All right. But no, I mean, what do you think so far? No ideas, really?
I was thinking that pilot whale, like I said earlier.
We'll talk. I'll share my pilot whale story again.
Yeah. because that's what it made me think of. But
the undulating motion and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, up and down. Because whales Blacks. Move up and down, not side yeah. to side. So
very clever. Very good.
Oh, thank you. I've been studying.
Oh, thank you so much.
I've been taking notes in class.
We're idiots.
I know.
So, nothing happens in the next few months. Reports of the creature in Moreton Bay were few and far between. Many believe the creature moved back out into the open ocean. Why they thought this is that was common behavior for a lot of the whale species that visited.
Just come in for a little bit. Yeah, and move
they'd come
out.
In for a couple. Most of them would only come in for like a week or two.
They're spa days,
huh?
They're spa days. They come in for.
Yeah, because there's no food for a creature that big for long periods of time.
Right. They can't sustain there.
Yeah, but it's more like you said. You know, spa day. It's more of a relaxation point.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a blue whale in the bay, it's not going to be there very long.
It's like us in our community. You got to go down to Mothman once a year.
I was going
to
say, ours is like, I'm going to say ours is probably Gatlinburg or Florida.
You think
for Ada?
Oh, no, I meant just for our community. Me and like, are the cryptid community. Yeah. You got to go to Mothman once.
You just got to go sit in Chief Cornstalk Memorial Park
right next
to the racist monument.
Yeah, very. It's very racist. Chief Cornstalk Memorial Park in Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
I'm not big in woke culture.
No, but that...
But that is dumb.
That is a problem. That, you know, why didn't they ever address that during all the statue stuff when it was a problem?
Because nobody knows it exists outside of this culture.
Right.
Out of our group. Anyways, moving on to Caesar.
Side a
few months, not very seen. May believe the creature went back out to sea. A few sightings of it did get reported in the months following January, but they were generally explained by misidentification of other known animals in the area because everybody was on high alert.
Mm.
So this means every large dugong, turtle, or whale suddenly became the Morton Sea Serpent.
Okay.
Because it didn't fit, a lot of these ones didn't fit the same description. They looked, you know, they looked more like the color changed, you know. They probably was a small humpback.
Game of telephone.
Which I literally just seen in Australia, one of my open ocean kayakers that I follow. He had like an 18-foot baby humpback.
What do you mean open ocean kayak?
They go like 15, 20, 25 miles out into the ocean and kayak.
And then come back?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he has a clear bottom so you can see everything.
Oh, that would freak me out.
He had a baby humpback kind of come up and you just see like a dark shape coming out of the water, like up, but yeah, and then it just starts poking him and stuff like that.
Oh my.
And he's like,
that gives me goosebumps.
And he's telling it like, he's talking to it. He's like, you know, come on, chill. Because he's like, the adults are pretty cautious, but the babies are babies.
Yeah, they don't know. They're just...
And it's hitting the kayak pretty hard and stuff like that. And it's just a clear plastic kayak.
Yeah.
And he's like 15 miles out in the ocean.
Oh, my gosh. By himself?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's got to be an adrenaline rush. No wonder why they do it.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So many professional fishermen in the area believe, from the very beginning, the Morton Bay Sea Serpent was nothing more than a large turtle that took witnesses by surprise.
That would be awesome.
And you remember our missing shark from way, way long ago.
Oh, yeah. The turtle that grabbed it and drug it down in the bottom of the ocean? It
was only like 150 miles from this spot.
Oh, boy.
But we'll get back to that. But for those who saw the beast were adamant that there was no way, shape, or form of a turtle.
Adamant. Well, I mean, if they're very sure. Turtles are pretty distinct.
Even like leatherback sea turtles, which are their own group. Like, listen to Freaky Fauna Friday on those guys. They're really, really unique for even like, for anything.
Right, absolutely. They're massive.
They're massive, but they're partially warm-blooded. They're deep divers. We don't know anything about them, really.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do what any other reptile does.
Anyways, neat. They're very neat.
As far as the looks, they were not going to be answered by the mystery anytime soon. That is until the creature came back to Morton Bay the following fall into winter. In October, a woman by the name of Mrs. Carr saw an unknown creature swimming in the reef near Barbie Island. The woman described the creature as having a long body with an extremely large head. It rose up out of the water as if to get a better look at her before sinking back below the surface. That's another common thread. A lot of these times people would see this creature, it was looking at them just as much as they were looking at it.
Right.
And a lot of people so far in these encounters have not been scared. They have not been worried about the creature, you know, besides a little, like the first encounter was, they had a little bit, they were a little scared, but the creature followed them back to shore. And that time, most of them, they didn't feel like panic.
Right.
Like it was just trying to get a better look at us.
Wasn't hunting them.
Yeah. So that's, you know, very distinct feelings out here. So she's seen it at Barbie Island. She described it having a large body, rose up in the water to get a better look at her. Later that same month, another witness by the name of Mrs. Bailey spotted a creature in the waters near Redland Bay.
Ooh.
A man then described the creature as being larger than that of a hippopotamus, having a large head with a long, thick neck and an undulating up and down body in the water. At the same time, there was reports made by a woman who claimed she saw the Morton Bay sea serpent not that year, but 2 years prior, in 1958, but never felt compelled to speak out about it until others started doing it, you know, fear of, you know, prosecution, all that stuff. The witness, whose name was Mrs. M. Chadwick, chimed in that while her and her husband were out in the waters near St. Helena Island, I read Mount St. Helens so much, it's when you see St. H., it's almost always St. Helena. A large flathead rose out of the water close to the boat. The unknown creature, in her words, had large eyes that were set far apart, a wide mouth that stretched almost nearly across the head. The creature caused such a fear in the pair that they sped away as fast as they could. So she's this big head rises to the water, super wide head, eyes on each side of the head, and this giant mouth, but flat mouth.
Yeah. I think I know.
Oh, do you?
I got two guesses, but keep going.
You think you know, huh?
I do.
Before I continue, because we got a lot to talk about, there's not many more sightings of this thing. It's a very small flap.
Okay.
We're going to do our ad break. Ooh, are you ready?
Oh, yeah. I'm starving.
You're starving? I got to scoot over so I can read it, talk for a second.
All right. Well, let's cue us up for a nice Cryptids of the Corn presents Flavors of the Forest ad. Brought to you by flavorsforest.com/corn to get you some of the best garlic dust of your life.
So, Jay, I just heard the Flavors of the Forest crew just did an expedition to the Lovelock Caves.
In Nevada?
Home of the red-haired giants.
Oh, did they discover a red-headed giant?
Nope. They discovered something even better.
A ginger of another sort?
A ginger of another sort. Now coming out very soon, Flavors of the Forest, Bigfoot Breath with Ginger.
A ginger flavor to add to my food?
Yes. It's coming very soon. Be on the lookout for these new flavors. Helped develop by maybe the Nephilim, maybe the Mound Milders. All we know is they had red hair and they're gingers.
And it's delicious. And you can find this flavor and the other flavors on flavorsforest.com/corn.
Mm. Good luck finding that flavor.
Yeah, that flavor may have been discontinued at this as a time.
I don't think it's discontinued. It's just,
at least
run because out. He does it seasonally, right? With seasonal right. varieties. I do think there are still a couple of the gingers and the lion's mane floating around.
Ooh.
But I think you got to go find them for them.
Yeah.
So good luck.
It's a scavenger hunt.
So where was I? Let's see. Near the end of 1960, the serpent went quiet again. The usually quick sightings would be made, but they stated above, as could easily be explained by animals of another type. Mm-hmm. So like I said, after the main flap of the 1960s, really wasn't anything. A couple of people were like, I seen a sea serpent. It was probably a baby whale. You know, a lot of other extremely large marine animals
right.
in this area. So it's not like, you know, seeing something in Texas, it could only be Bigfoot.
Right.
There's no gorillas in Texas as far as, you know, there are whales. There are pilot whales, killer whales. There are dolphins. There are sea turtles of the size of small boats. Manta rays. And people don't get how big a manta ray actually is.
Oh, I've seen some giant ones people caught.
25 or 30 feet's the record for width.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, they get big. So it went quiet. Appearing to have moved on from the area, the official Mort Bay sea serpent sightings would not be reported again until September of 1962. The report would come from a man named Robert Duncan and would be one of the last official reports of the creature. Mr. Duncan stated that while walking on the beach near Barbie Island in the morning, he saw a serpent-like creature rise up out of the water. Immediately grabbing his binoculars to get a better look, Mr. Duncan watched as the creature appeared to be playing at the surface, enjoying itself. The large creature rolled around, dove repeatedly for nearly 5 minutes before slowly leaving the area. No fear. He had no watching this monster.
All good vibes.
The witness described the serpent as easily being 15 feet long, if not longer, having a large head with an extremely thick neck, fin-like things running along the lower part of its body, brownish-black lumpy skin, and being as thick as a small whale. It was also shot out nostrils with the water vapor, like that of whales and some other porpoises and stuff do, almost reminiscent of whales shooting out water out of their blowhole. So that's all the sightings.
Okay.
So there's a lot of stuff. This is a really cool one. Adam, thank you. Adam Benedict, like I said, he pulled all these sightings together.
Mm-hmm.
There's some really cool key throughs. These are one of my favorite ones because you probably have your own ideas. But there are key witness facts that are spread through what the core encounters that I really think give us a chance to really ID what this animal is.
Oh, exciting.
But I want to point this out. I have two big things to talk about before we get into what this creature could be and, you know, kind of talk about this stuff. Two things. Number one is the swimming motion. You already made mention of this.
The up and down.
Fish and reptiles and amphibians, long amphibians, not frogs. You know, frogs push kick. Fish and reptiles and amphibians swim side to side.
Right.
Alligators and eels, they all swim the same, basically. The same body, roughly body motion.
Okay.
Tuna, all of it, where it's a side to side, like a snake going through the grass.
I imagine, yeah, the tail going side to side is how I...
And some, like, if you look at tuna, like, they pivot lower on their body, mm-hmm. when eels pivot higher in their body.
Oh, gotcha, okay.
Like, it all varies.
Right.
But it's all of that motion.
Yeah.
Every one of these creatures' encounters that describe the swimming behavior, the undulating, is up and down. That is a mammalian trait.
Well, there throws my giant salamander idea off. Also, the giant ocean croc idea off.
Yes, I don't even know how you got the ocean croc out of this.
I don't know, the wide head. I could see it. People.
Maybe I didn't do a good enough job. Flat. Wide, flat head.
Oh, flat is
like
in,
a bulldog, almost.
Oh, okay.
Or a cow.
I imagine flat, like the top of the head flat.
No, it ran into a wall.
Oh, okay. Well, they are definitely not an alligator.
So, like I said, that's my first thing to remember, is that when you look at sea serpent and even lake serpent encounters, the swimming motion is very important for at least known animals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, otters swim like this, whales swim like this, mm-hmm. beavers swim like this. And you have some animals like us that, you know, we swim with our limbs, but we don't swim with our whole body, so we don't undulate through the water.
Right. But if you ever swum with no arms, though, you ever done that? Like, just put your arms behind your back or to your side?
We go up and down because it's the way our spine is shaped.
Yeah. Then we undulate.
Yeah, that's why whales swim the way they do, why dolphins swim the way
right.
It's how our spines are shaped.
Right.
So there's very, you know, limiting factors.
You'd be very impressive if you could do the side-to-side motion.
And you kind, as a human, you kind of can, but you can't.
But to, like, scoot around?
To move.
That would be, I'd be impressed.
So, you have anything to say for that?
For, like, what in particular?
Just anything to add in. Because you picked up on it pretty early in the story.
With the up and down motion. Yeah, that was the big key, like, to throw you off of the main culprits. You know, what it could be and things like that. So I don't, I know there's something I'm missing that I guess it's not popped in my head. So keep going. My big salamander was my ace in the hole. I thought that was going to come back to that, but that one's out.
Oceanic salamanders.
Yeah.
They did exist. They're just not, as far as we know, not alive right now.
Well, maybe in Morton Bay.
One of my books I used to read, one of the series, they had them in the trenches.
Oh, wow.
Because they kept their external gills. That's how they could get away from the surface during one of the mass extinctions.
Ah, just go down
and
deeper.
They were, like, big monsters down there with the Megs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think it was the Trench. I think it was the Trench series.
I feel like the giant salamander down there would just get shredded.
Because you think of modern-day salamanders. You don't
right.
think of...
The old ones.
Oh, like, salamanders ruled the world even up until the dinosaurs. Like, they were eating dinosaurs. 25-foot coelacanthuses were literally grabbing dinosaurs like crocodiles and ripping them apart.
Yikes.
So they're not like
good.
They're not like the hellbender that's, you know, sensitive to water change and you can kill with a rock.
Right, yeah.
Some of these were literal monsters.
Fair enough.
But no, I don't think it was a giant salamander. I'll put that out there. Next thing is, these people have an abundance of wildlife. These people that are using this area for activities, these people that are fishing...
Mm-hmm.
These are not people, I mean, some of them are on vacation, but most of these people that witnessed were locals. So I want to put that out to suggested animals of misidentification and stuff like that. If you heard in the story already, many of the locals were already able to tell, oh, you've seen a whale, that wasn't the sea serpent. They
right.
weren't saying, they weren't discrediting the sea serpent as a whole. They're saying that later on, some of these witnesses, like, no, that was, you know, this tourist seen a sea serpent, like, mm-hmm. or this tourist seen a baby whale,
mm-hmm.
So they are very familiar with their wildlife.
Like what that, yes.
And they have an abundance of very large wildlife that they get familiar with.
Okay.
Anything to add to that?
I mean, it doesn't. It goes to show that the people that saw what they saw obviously know it's not something out of the ordinary. It's not something they commonly are coming across, or else they would have ID'd it. So what they saw is obviously something different and weird. But I still can't put my finger on it yet.
Man, you're going to feel dumb in a minute.
As if I don't now already?
No, I mean just because it's going to be one of these animals you're going to be, oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, so the first one I have, and this has been suggested by many other people, it's not one I really buy into, is giant turtles.
Okay.
Now, I can see the lumpy skin, the big wide head, the eyes on each side of the head, the long flat mouth. That makes a lot of sense. Like, if you ever seen turtles, a lot of turtle species have beaks or visible beaks.
Like cicadas.
Yeah. But if you look at leatherbacks and stuff, they actually have lips. They have beaks. They're in there.
Mm-hmm.
But they have lips on them. So you may not see that. Leatherbacks have extremely smooth, you know, a leatherback sea turtle skin is much more akin to that of a whale or a large marine mammal than any other reptile.
Okay.
Where they don't have these giant scales. I mean, we talked about it on Freaky Fauna. They're not even close related to any other turtle alive today, including sea turtles.
I was going
to
say, I wonder if they were just a...
They're their own offshoot from way, way long ago. Something else.
Yeah.
So they're their own thing, but they are still turtles.
I was going to say, what's it called when something follows the body plan, like a good body plan?
Convergent evolution.
Yeah.
And so whales, they're convergent with the super large marine reptiles of the Jurassic and stuff like that.
It's just an old whale that converged into that.
I think they're going the wrong way.
Well, it was hard times.
Hard times.
Yeah.
But yeah, they even are partially warm-blooded. They dive at levels. We don't even know why they do that. You know,
right.
They do all these behaviors that we've documented that we have no idea why they're doing it. They're not feeding it. You know, they're going past food sources.
Which is why we featured them on Freaky Fauna Friday. Check it out every Fridays on Cryptocore Network. Freaky Fauna Friday.
They can be extremely curious. Leatherbacks aren't necessarily extremely curious. But some species of tortoise and turtle can be extremely curious. Snappers are known for, like, coming up to divers.
Oh, I have a video on my phone of the snapper coming up to just check out our boat.
Yeah.
Probably because it was habituated by people.
Right, but they still get, they have a sense to them of,
extremely curious.
So if you have this giant turtle, and I mean an actual 18-foot-long turtle.
Right.
Which we'll talk about in a second.
A true giant.
Yeah, and it's coming up. It may, you know, they can raise, some species can raise their head out of the water. It really depends on the species.
Yeah.
So it may be taking a peek at these guys. It may be looking and just being like, oh, what's...
But you'd see the shell.
What's going on over there? Now, let's talk about that.
Okay.
Stuff like leatherbacks. They don't have a hard shell.
Mm-hmm.
Soft-shell turtles, which Australia has many species of giant soft shells. They don't have a hard shell. They're flexible. What part of the body, besides a couple of the encounters, did they really see of the body? Now, they've seen these fins going down the side of it.
Right, yeah.
This could be... Now, some species of extinct soft-shell turtle actually have ridges in their shell. So these quote-unquote fins, what I mean is like points, soft points coming off the shell. These extra fins they were seeing could have been those ridges. Like I said, I don't buy this. This is not my theory.
Right.
This is one put out there, but I'm devil's advocating it. You know, this could be why this works.
But my counterpoint to that is that swimming motion, the up and down.
100%. That's my big one too.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, turtles swim side to side.
Right.
And they actually swim like us.
Yeah.
They just are better at it with flippers.
Breaststroke.
Yeah. But the curious nature and everything like that, I could see.
Yeah. Those parts, check. But once you get to the swimming up and down motion, out. Bye.
Okay.
Sorry, turtle. Sorry, Koopa.
Next one, mermaids.
Ooh.
Somebody said this. Like I said, if somebody says it, I'll put it in.
What is a mermaid with, like, a dragon head?
Well, traditionally, like, keep in mind, and pirates and stuff got to North America, what did they seen manatees and thought they were mermaids.
Yeah. Oh, well, maybe, yeah.
Very, very...
Or is it the other kind of mermaid where the head's like a weird fish
reverse mermaids thing?
Yeah, and it's...
No, I don't know. Somebody said that these are... They're not being funny. I said mermaids being funny, but like mer people. These are like the stellar sea apes we've talked about. We have never done a full episode on them. But they have, like, the one lady that was talking about its eyes, she later went on and talked about they seemed intelligent in some way. Like, it wasn't there to hurt her. It could, you know, it could easily, the animal that size could destroy the boat, could, you know, come for him. But she described the eyes as having some kind of intelligence behind them.
Hmm. That's an interesting quote or thought.
Yeah, so this area is highly active for wildlife, highly abundant for food.
Right.
So if merfolk are real, these things, and they would look more like this. They'd be more Rubenesque because water's cold. Mammals always get big in the water that stand long periods of time in the water. because you lose heat faster.
Right.
You can get hypothermia in 70 degrees of water. You cannot do that in 70 degrees of air.
That's right, yeah.
So that's why, you see, it rips the heat out of you faster. Right. So you need those insulating layers, even if you're in tropical waters.
Right.
You look at, man, like, the dolphins that only live in the tropics, they still have insulating blubber. Right. They still have layers that protect them.
Still need it.
So if these are more folks, this could be a feeding area that they're coming into for, they may be falling as fish in. You know, it's coming in the winter months.
Right.
Harvesting stuff. They're curious. They're looking at people. They may only live in the open ocean most of their life and follow in these fish. So that's why they're like, oh, well, you know, I've never really, you know, got to see these things before.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think of that?
I'm just going to say I'm not going to go along with this one.
I don't think it's true either. But right. It's interesting.
Just for the simple fact of the head.
Now, yeah, the head.
I mean, I guess mermaid could be anything.
Well, another one that comes up, the giant eels.
Right.
Not a giant eel. I mean, I can't. I'm trying to help.
They're still side to side, though.
They're still side to side. As far as I know, eels can't lift their necks and heads right. above the water.
Right.
Like, we talk about that with, like, pliosaurs, like the long neck plesiosaurs and stuff like yeah. that. That their skeletal structure did not indicate they could do that. Look at some species of snake, they can do it because of the way their spines are shaped.
Right.
Look at turtles, they can do it because those some you know their spines are shaped, how their heads are shaped. As far as we can see, with what we have left of pliosaurs, they couldn't do that. At least directly, like, lifting up like you see in the Nessie pictures and stuff
right,
like that.
Right, yeah.
They could probably stick their heads and necks out of the water, but it'd be more straight. It'd be like the head and the neck are one thing, not a tilt on the head.
Right, where they're lifting their neck up yeah. and they're moving their head around.
Yeah,
like freely.
Yeah, it would not be like a bird. You know, you see swans and stuff with the long necks.
Oh yeah,
the intricate. It would be much more like a fish. You know, like, you know, it'd be much more rigid coming out of the water. Yes.
Which I've seen a fish with its head coming out of the water. Frightening.
Yeah.
So frightening.
The swimming motion, the curiosity. Eels are curious, but in different ways. They're more adventurous, like we talked about, like in many of the giant eel theory episodes, kind of going into places and ending up weird spots. Like I just watched a TikTok. Of an eel, like some guy got in a freshwater pond in New England. He's like, how is there an eel in this pond? He's freaking out because he's catfishing. I'm like, there's a creek you can literally see like 10 yards away.
Feeding it?
Yeah, I'm like, well, there you go.
Came in right there.
Yeah. But yeah, they, you know, I think they normally catch them in salt water, so that was why they are both. They're androgynous.
Yeah.
All right, before I get into my series contenders, in my opinion, here's one that's kind of odd that people suggested. Whales.
Okay.
Now, you already brought up somebody that I was saving for later. I literally have it written down. Pilot whale story.
Oh, darn.
Which is fine. It just means you were on the same track. I'm sure I've shared it on the main show. I know I've shared it on Patreon.
For sure.
But pilot whales. Whales are incredibly curious. They're very large. They can be sleek black. My big thing is some of the larger species, like humpbacks and that stuff, they can have really rough, bumpy skin.
Okay.
They can have really like hard driven skin. Like humpbacks have all kinds of stuff. Right whales have all kinds of bumps. Not just the barnacle patches they have on their skin.
Right.
They actually have hard patches on the outside of their body for everything. Some biologists think that basically why humpbacks have it on their fins is like brass knuckles to whack orcas with. You know, and then the barnacles grow on top of that as extra.
There you go.
And you don't realize, you look at whales and you're like, that's a big gentle animal. They are. They're strong though.
Mm-hmm.
That 12-foot flipper hitting an orca, if it hits it in the right spot, we'll kill it. Orca will be dead. But whales, so the pilot whale story, I'll kind of give the faster version. Shark fishing, Daytona Beach area at night. I have my big spotlights out. It was super odd. It was during turtle season, and we were fishing for sharks in the trough. So if anybody doesn't know, as you walk out into the ocean, most of the spots like in North American shores, walk out, it gets deeper, 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 and then it raises back up again. It's a sandbar, and then it goes back to being deep again. So during the day, there's not a lot of big sharks or anything like that in there, mostly due to people, mm-hmm. right? There's so many people out there. Believe it or not, sharks really don't like being around people.
Right, yeah.
They're not dumb. New Smyrna Beach is where I was. It's the shark bite capital of the world. And almost all the sharks that bite people there are about a foot long.
Oh, okay.
It's almost all babies.
Gotcha.
It's almost always on the hands and feet.
Yeah. Because
they think it's a struggling fish. And then once they bite and they realize, oh.
This is a baby shark.
You know, that once it bite your hand and they're like, oh, this is connected to something bigger.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
They're like, oh, I got to let go. So you can, like, I got bit by, there's literally two shows. I got bit by a shark in New Smyrna. So you go buy one after you get bit by a shark.
Nice.
Nobody gets bit by like a great white or a big, bull sharks. There's big bull sharks there. So I'm fishing for like black tips and stuff. So I'm fishing the trench. Off to my right, there's a weird wave comes over the sandbar. And as it comes over, I'm like, oh, that's weird. I can kind of see it in my lights. I'm like, oh, that's weird, but there's going to be weird waves. Then it breaks. It's right. So it comes in front of me. So this wave is going parallel with the beach.
Right.
And it's in this trough, and it's going. And as it gets in front of me, I just see this large black serpent undulating in the water up and down. And when it gets right in front of me, I just see this big eye just staring at me. And it goes past me, and then it goes back over the sandbar and out into the ocean. I'm freaking out. And then about 2 minutes later, a helicopter comes flying down the beach. It's like 2 a.m. A helicopter's flying. I'm like, I'm going to get, like, wished away.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
Like, yeah. And I remember Dad came in between that, and I told him I seen a sea monster like thing. I described it to him, like, the government's coming to get me. Then Turtle Patrol. I was one of the – there's fishermen out there. I'm not the only guy, but, you know, we stay – like, I'm going to say half a mile, quarter mile away from each other at least most of the time.
Okay.
But the fishermen did, yeah. You kind of see lights down the beaches. So what Turtle Patrol will do is they'll ask you if you see any turtles come out, you know, and they'll go mark nests or dig them. A lot of times on Daytona, they dig them up.
That's what you're saying when it was turtle season.
Yeah. So
they're laying their eggs.
About a half hour later, Turtle Patrol comes by, and they ask me if I seen any turtles. I'm like, no, not tonight. Then I kind of tell them what I seen. Like, oh, you know, you seen a pilot whale. And I think I was 16 at the time, maybe 17. And I kind of knew what a pilot whale was, kind of didn't. And anyway, they're like a little bit smaller than orcas, but they're jet black. They're hyper predators. They're very, very curious, smart animals. But they kill swimmers a lot on accident.
Oh, okay.
The one, there's a video of, you can Google it. They popped some poor girl's lungs, I believe, because they were grabbing her fin and pulling her down.
Oh, gosh.
And they pulled her too fast, like too far, and her lungs popped.
Oh, killed her.
You don't hold your breath. When you hold vapor in, it's like you start expanding. Anyways, it's bad.
Oh, gosh.
So they killed her by playing with her. Or maybe they didn't kill her. I'm trying to remember now. It's been forever since I've seen that video. They may have injured her.
I feel like if your lung pops, you're dead.
It may have not actually popped. That may have been just what the
article,
the news people were saying.
Yeah, they spin.
But they're things. Big. They're big and curious, and they got very large teeth, and they're active predators.
Okay.
That was a sea serpent, right? I seen a sea serpent.
Right, right, right.
Didn't look like a snake when you say sea serpent. You know, people kind of got the idea of reptile or eel. So, yeah, that's kind of with this, the undulating up and down the beach, the curiousness and all that. For me, they do have a big flat head, but they can't, and they spy hop, right? So they'll come, they kind of force their front half of their body out of the water so they can look around.
Okay.
So these animals do that. Just any of the encounters just don't seem, I feel like they would have known it was a pilot whale.
A whale or a whale.
A whale. Yeah. Oh, they would have known it was a whale because they've seen orcas there.
Right, yeah. They know what that is.
And it looks like an orca that's just all black.
Right.
Slightly smaller. They're not small. They're 18 to 25 feet long.
Right.
They should be able to. Orcas are 30 to 35 feet long.
They should have been able to at least identify, especially if it pulled its head up out of the water.
Multitudes of times.
Right. Come on. I mean, you got to have a pretty good guess.
But when you really think about it, that wide, flat face like a catfish, pilot whales have that, even with the lips and everything like that.
Okay.
The big eyes on each side of the head.
Yeah.
The blackness. Now, they're mostly smooth, but some whales can be lumpy. A lot of people kind of describe these really lumpy toad-like skin.
That's what that one person said in the first encounter.
Yeah, toad-like, you know, lumps.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what led me away from it being this. But that is, in my head, you know, that one a plausible option.
Okay.
But I feel like they would have known.
Right.
All right. So I have three left.
All right. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty.
And they're all giant marine mammals. And there's positives and negatives for each of them. And they get more plausible as we go.
Is one the giant? Well, I don't want to ruin it.
One is the walrus.
Ooh, I am the Eggman.
They're not native to anywhere near there.
Okay.
So that could be why the locals didn't know what they were looking at.
Okay.
Big, wide head, eyes on each side of the head. They're bulbous eyes, too. Big, wrinkly skin with folds and bumps and bruises, all of it. And this wide, flat, almost pig-like face.
But don't they have giant tusks?
Now, I said I had positives and negatives for both. Oh,
okay.
So my two negatives were, well, positive and negative was way out of range. But walruses are known to kind of end up in places they're not supposed to be.
Right.
And then my other one is the even young female walruses, because they're not fully sexually dimorphic teeth, you know, reasons for teeth.
Okay.
They use them to hold on to ice floats.
Okay.
They're purpose-driven. So even female walruses have pretty large front teeth.
Yeah.
So there's no teeth reported.
They never acknowledge
And for
that.
The size, the Wallaces don't get that big. Like, they don't get 18, 20 feet long.
That'd be a massive.
They get big. I think they get 11 or 12 feet long, maybe.
What about that one?
Stretched out.
What about that one walrus they had the skin of that they recreated?
If anybody hasn't seen that, please do. It's like 30 feet long.
Yeah.
Because they took all the wrinkles. The poor taxidermist took all the wrinkles out of it. He's like, man.
It's like a blimp.
And they have the wrinkles, to, you know, for warm to keep, you know, right. All kinds of stuff. But they're mostly mollusk eaters. That's like a big part of their diet. That's their whole jaws are like specialized for sucking out mollusk.
Oh, nice.
So that's my first one, is that this could be an animal that the locals are not used to seeing. You know, you can tell it's a mammal. They're very curious. They can sit up out of the water like that, above their shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
They have all these wrinkles and stuff like that. Not really explaining the extra flippers.
That's right.
But,
yeah.
But wrinkles and, you know, wrinkly. But they have really brushly faces, too.
Yeah.
So I feel like some of the witnesses would describe, some of them did kind of describe hair on the face, but nothing like a walrus is notable.
It's like the, a big push broom on its face.
It is. Yeah. I mean, they're for reasons. And it's for when they're on the bottom because they use it to feel.
Oh, nice. Because
they dive deeper than light goes a lot of times to find muscles.
Right, yeah.
Anyways, that's one. I don't know. What do you think about walrus?
I'm just going to vote it out for being the fact that they should have known if they seen the teeth, the tusks, or whatever. I don't know.
Even
the people that don't know.
Baby walruses don't have teeth. But this thing was 15, they're saying 15 foot long, the smallest one that was described.
That would be a fully grown adult.
And like I said, they can end up in weird places. Now, walruses are kind of famous for that mm-hmm. they can pop up way outside of their range.
Right.
There's another animal more famous for it, but walruses are up there.
Like, I won't discredit that, but I'm just saying I just don't think. No.
All right, next one. I cannot believe you did not get this one. Maybe you did. Do you want to give a guess?
Giant beaver.
No. Somebody was very disappointed that we didn't mention that in the Lake Michigan monster.
Oh, really?
It wasn't a giant beaver. Because the cow drug off. Anyways, because we should have said it was a giant beaver that actually drug off the mastiff or whatever the dog was.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Instead of the cow that drug the dog off into the ocean to eat it.
Right, yeah.
Like, what? What?
Cows. You know, cows know to do that.
The Stellar Sea Cow.
Ah.
The Pacific Ocean Behemoth.
They're bringing them back.
They say they are. But what if this, like we talked about in our Stellar Sea Cow episode, that they live in the Pacific Ocean. There are probably as populations in the Atlantic that, you know, whalers and stuff wiped out. This one could have been, because it was right, you know, it's kind of during, right after the extinction or the mass extinction event in North America, you know, 100 years. What if this is a Stellar Sea Cow? They can be very curious. Their size is right. Their head shape is right. This big, wide, flat head, eyes on each side, with these long, wide lips that wrap around the whole side of the head. Because they're grazers.
Okay.
This area would have brought them in. The extra fins on their back. So I don't know, you know this about manatees, but you may not realize it. You know, manatees have the plant matter that grows on their back a lot of times, the algaes.
Okay.
Even some rooted plants.
I did not know that, but.
So they use it for camouflage and also for sunblock. It's beneficial. They actually put enzymes in their skin that kind of benefit those plants. To help them. So what if the Stellar Sea Cow took that a step further and actually had leafing plants? So that, all these extra fins that people could have been seeing could have been actual vegetation either wrapped around it or growing on the animal.
Okay.
Giving it a weird thing. And they were darker in color as far as the notes we have from like Stellar's expeditions and stuff like that. And they have lumpy skin. Like they have these big flat faces, not really any hair on them, these big nostrils and lumpy skin. Let's see. Do I have anything else? No, that's... So what do you think? So the Stellar Sea Cow.
Well, it's fitting a lot of things.
Size. I mean, they get way bigger than that.
What's your negatives for this one?
That there may be somebody that fits it better.
Oh, okay. That's the only negative?
I struggled with putting them in order. If anybody hasn't... If you're newer to the show, I kind of... In my personal opinion, I put them in probability.
Right, yeah.
But... I do think there are giant grass mounts out in the Pacific Ocean we just do not know about. Anybody listen to the Stellar Sea Cow episode to kind of go into that, that there was one that was discovered in the Atlantic that was the size of like roughly, what was it, like half of Ohio?
It's huge, whatever.
And it's all 30 feet deep and it's all grass. And
right.
We just found it. They put a camera on a giant hammerhead.
And tracked it.
And it went out 1,000 miles to the ocean and was like, here you go. People don't think, they think of all these cargo ships and everything, and the ocean's all mapped.
Right.
It's not. They found shipping chains and the channels, and they stay in those shipping channels.
And that's it.
Because if you leave the shipping channels, that's how ghost ships are made. Because there just was one of those the other day, I think in Iceland.
A ghost ship?
Yeah. It was like a 30 or 40 crew, extremely large fishing vessel.
Just showed up.
Everybody's gone.
Right, yeah.
They don't know what happened to it.
That's crazy.
So these Stellar Sea Cows, I think they're living out in these, I think the ones that survived, I think we killed all of the northern ones, or at least really, really decimated the population.
Okay.
We talked about some of the encounters that even happened into the 1960s, 70s, and into modern day. So we talked about that a lot of people theorize that there were southern varieties too, that they were probably living along the coast, or they were living along these giant grass islands that may be out in the middle of the ocean that we just don't know about yet.
Okay.
What do you think of that?
Well, we know that those grass things are there. They're all
when we know
a lot of life there to them.
Mm-hmm.
And if this environment, you know, kind of reflects that same biome, I don't know, the same environment as out there, I can see how it can draw in a bunch of weird, rare things from time to time. But the sea cow, I mean, maybe.
That's, like I said, I had a lot of trouble with these two. And I think the real big one is these extra little fins, because I kind of had to make a stretch to get to there.
To make that part work.
And if it was just one encounter that they described these things, I would have probably thrown it out.
Okay.
But Stellar Sea Cows, if anybody didn't know, they wrap themselves in vegetation. The reason they survived, like orcas, right? Why the orcas were one of the few mega mammals in the ocean that the orcas didn't just decimate.
Right.
It's because they lived in the kelp forest. Only big-bodied animal that could go into the kelp forest because they had hands.
Couldn't find them.
Well, they had hands to maneuver. The orcas would drown if they went in there. They get tangled. So these giant Stellar Sea Cows they don't have hands like we have hands, but you can still see their fingernails and
right.
They could maneuver through these giant kelp forests and live and survive. You know, they didn't have to deal with orcas and they didn't have to deal with great whites and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like seals. You see seals, they'll hide in these kelp forests because the great whites just patrol the edge all day.
Run right.
But
yep.
They won't go in because they'll die if they go in.
Right, yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe it was wrapped up in grass. It just had, you know, it just came out of feeding in one of these grass mats that would be in this area.
Could be a little step. You never know. But all right. Okay, let's hear it.
You have any guess what this could be?
Gosh. Not a walrus, you said that. Something like that, like a big seal.
Yes,
tumor seal.
It is the biggest seal.
What is it?
The elephant seal.
Oh, an elephant seal. Just a plain old elephant seal.
Now, you say that, and Australia has elephant seals.
Okay.
Well, let's talk about this, because where this place is very important for the elephant seal distribution. So, elephant seals, they have the side, they have the head. It's a little off, but they have big white heads, big thick necks, big bodies. They don't have to, if their nose is not inflated, they look a lot more normal.
Okay.
So what do you mean
inflated?
They puff up their nose to get that big bulbous nose for mating.
Like a turkey?
Yeah. But when it's tucked in, it's nothing like that. They look more like a seal. They look more like a normal big headed seal.
It's a grower, not a shower.
But it's all wrinkly and like it's still, yeah.
Right.
So this area is a little over 200 miles outside of their today's range.
That's not far.
But that's today's range.
Right.
They are now listed as least concerned, but 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago, they were almost wiped off the planet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So at the time that this happened, elephant seals in most areas of Australia were quite rare.
Okay.
Including this area, which is outside of the range, the traditional range. Maybe they just never heard of them. You know, they may be a every 40-year visitor. You know what I mean? So most of the locals had never seen one.
Right, okay.
And they get to, you know, we talked about some of the biggest ones ever were 22 feet long and stuff. Let's talk about the multiple fins thing. And this is why I kind of switched over to the elephant seals over Stellar Sea Cows.
Being the more likely culprit?
Is in December and January, they shed their outer layer of densely packed hair.
Okay.
It literally looks like giant squares, triangle, chunks of flesh.
Oh, it's okay.
It's falling off their body everywhere.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
So these little flaps that all these people were talking about literally could have been the time of the year that the sightings happened.
Where he was shedding.
Were the time that giant male elephant seals shed their skin, their hair.
Okay.
So that all fits. But we talk more about elephants. Southern elephant seals are named after the large proboscis in the males. They have a loud roaring sound during the mating season. These are large, open ocean-going animals. Adults easily weighing about 3,000 kilograms. Most of the females never really break 900 kilograms. During their pregnancy, they can get a little heavier. The But yeah, a large weaned may exceed 220 kilograms. That's kind of when they start breaking away from their mom.
Okay.
Man, they are very big and cumbersome on land, but are really, really swift swimmers and divers, known for their aquatic, what?
Huh.
Are you reading something?
No, I'm looking at these pictures.
Known for their aquatic expertise. Like, these guys can spin, flip. For their size,
You
don't realize how agile they are in the water.
They're I'm seeing the nose and thing, but so, they're just gigantic.
Biologists have recorded these guys easily diving over 2 miles deep and holding their breath for well over 2 hours. But during the two-hour record, the biologists don't think it was due to them needing to come up for breath. They think they were just done.
Oh, okay. Did he look like this when he was done? Like, these pictures are hilarious.
That, but that thing would rip you in half.
Yeah, I know.
They're bigger than trucks.
Oh, my God. So
Neil the Seal's from Southern Australia, I believe. That's the famous one that's like comes into town.
Neil?
Neil the Seal.
That's a great name.
But he beats up trucks. He'll literally lay on top of like F-150s and stuff like that.
This is, yeah, these guys are like insane.
So their hemoglobin and the red blood cells carry oxygen. The elephant seals have a lot more red blood cells per unit of blood than most other animals on the planet.
Hmm.
So, you know, a lot of people think like when whales and stuff, they hold their breath. They do not. And these big seals, they do not hold their breath. Their lungs would literally explode.
Okay.
They hyperoxygenate their blood or their liver. Like a lot of whales would do that in their organs.
Okay.
They'll hyperoxygenate their organs before they dive and they'll use that oxygen.
Oh, wow. Okay.
These seals will hyperoxygenate their blood.
So they're kind of holding their breath.
It's not holding your breath. You're just not your
breathing.
Breath.
You're just not breathing.
You're hyperoxygenating your body.
Yes.
Not your breath.
But I mean,
when their muscles are also used to store oxygen that they are using. So they're not only of your blood, their whole elephant cells, all their muscles are storing oxygen.
Yeah.
They're one big oxygen tank.
Right.
But these are the adaptations, meaning the southern elephant seal can take this breath and then makes oxygen last up for easily 2 hours. And some experts think maybe up to 8 hours in the right circumstances.
It's impressive.
Southern elephant seals have a thick layer of blubber that sustains them during the breeding season because they do not feed during this time. They are famous for getting lost.
Yes.
They are famous, like I said, and we did elephant seals before, like 1,800 miles, I believe, one ended up on a river just because it got turned around. They've ended up in, Venezuela or Argentina? They ended up in a mountain.
One of those in South America. But because it got up into it.
Yeah, they just pick a direction.
Just keep
and
going.
Sometimes they just keep going. And most time it's like the not supersized males because they don't really have a territory.
Okay.
But it's not babies that are doing this. You know what I mean?
Right,
so they're still 12, 13, 14 feet long. They're also known for being very curious. So why would they not be known about in this area if they're all over Australia right now? They're all over California. They're all over South America.
Were they not there during these times?
During the 19th and early 20th century. So kill all the whales. Then they started murdering all the fur seals, which many of the fur seal species are extinct.
Oh, wow.
So they ran out of fur seals. So they went started targeting elephant seals in their breeding area.
Okay.
So they waited for them all to gather up, making more elephant seals, and then they killed them all. So during this time, the sealing industry in the Southern Antarctic Islands turned to exploiting southern elephant seals as a source of oil.
Oh, jeez.
The population was nearly exterminated off the planet.
Yeah, can it see why?
Today, they're still... So they have a population... Their population obviously did bounce back a little bit. They are right now suffering from population collapse. Not as severe, but still right now.
Okay.
They're on the down slope. They're listed as least concerned, but they're having some population issues as we're talking right now. So during this time... For the last, 60 years in this part of Australia, there were no elephant seals.
At all?
None.
Okay.
They were barely on the southern tips of Australia. So this place, Moreton Bay, is like right in the middle on the east coast.
Okay.
So Australia's a massive, massive coastline.
Oh, for sure.
So right in the middle. So these guys, right now, like I said, today's range still falls short about 150 miles, 200 miles. But like I said, they can pop up anywhere.
That's not that far.
So what if this, in the 1960s, was one of the... re-explorers, one of the re-territory getters.
Coming back,
and he's in his breeding coat. He's getting ready. He's looking for a beach, base, essentially,
well, he's
to
looking,
find females.
He's looking for that right lagoonal bay.
Yeah, the lagoonal bay. But he's looking for an area to find females to breed with. And he comes to this area, you know, a couple times, and there's no female showing up.
Right.
So there's no point in hanging out.
Yeah.
So then he moves off. So that's why I said the Stellar Sea Cow is an awesome option. You know, it fits. I think it probably fits a lot of boxes better than the elephant seals. But elephant seals fit a lot of boxes. The Stellar Sea Cow doesn't.
Right, exactly.
What do you think? If you had to pick one. I know it's hard. I'm still going back and forth.
Can elephant seals really get themselves up out of the water like that? Like,
yeah.
Okay.
They both can. Both. So Stellar Sea Cows are so much bigger that 4 feet of their body is nothing.
Okay.
Elephant seals got to put a little more work into it. But yeah. If you go to like aquariums where they have elephant seals, I don't even think they have any right now that I can really think of in the world. But they've had some. Like the Britain's zoo had a massive like 21-foot male that did tricks.
Jeez.
And he only let one zookeeper ever get near him.
Yeah.
And it was his buddy. Like he would lay on him and stuff and like.
Because, that's pretty cool.
Well, bull elephant seals are.
They're huge.
But they're curious, but they can be really nasty too.
And then crush you, like, without even thinking.
On accident.
Yeah.
They crush their own pups all the time. They kill their own babies just going.
Oops.
Oh, because you can't. Anyways. So, I don't know. I go back and forth. If you got to pick one, who are you picking?
You know what? Just for the sake of argument, I want to say it's the Stellar Sea Cow. Because I want them to still be out there.
That's mine. I would prefer. I think. 51 to 49%, 51 is elephant seal. And it's mostly because of these small fin-like protrusions that several, not one, you know, there was kind of a follow-through, had seen hanging off the creature.
Yep, said more than once.
So if it wasn't for that, I would go Stellar Sea Cow. I'm going elephant seal. And at the time, they were almost wiped off the planet. This was just when they were starting to bounce back. You know, the 1950s and 60s.
Right, yeah.
It was literally just when they were starting to reintroduce to areas.
So that makes sense why they would be curious and come back around.
And then why nobody would know about them.
Right, exactly.
You know, because these locals had everything else. They had guns. They had, you know.
Yeah.
But the locals didn't have, or their population, you know, they're 2,000 miles probably where the nearest elephant seal their day was. Let alone, but they'll come back, you know. So that's, I really think it was an elephant seal, but I want it to be a Stellar Sea Cow.
I know, me too. That's why I just want it to be.
But yeah, so here you go. The Moreton Bay Sea Serpent. One of Australia's famous ones.
Was an elephant seal.
It could have been. I don't know.
I'm just kidding.
It really doesn't fit a lot of the other typical sea monsters.
No, not so much.
Didn't do anything. Now, all the witnesses pretty much said the same universal thing, is it was just curious.
Yep.
Yeah. Never. Most of them, you know, the one couple was scared, or the one trio was scared when they started getting away from it.
And it was following them.
When it was following them, they're like, oh, it's just... It's not hunting us. It's just looking at us.
Yeah, it just keeps popping up, checking us out. It's not like a killer whale.
And keep in mind, if that elephant seal's life, it may have been the first time it had seen
people
that weren't blowing them up.
Actively stabbing it with harpoons.
Yeah. And they may have not even, you know, that could have been, you know, at that size, it probably would not have been hunted. It probably was a calf of one that was hunted.
Yeah.
So it may have been the first humans it had ever seen.
Ever, yeah.
So at its size, you know. If you're 15 foot long, there's very few animals in the ocean that can really put a hurting on you.
Yeah.
The biggest bull sharks, the biggest tiger sharks, great whites, and orcas.
And then you see these people on a boat.
And you're just curious, you know.
What are you guys doing? What are you things?
So the Moreton Bay Sea Serpent. I hope you guys liked it. Well, I enjoyed it.
I did too.
I've been the great and powerful Mr. E.
I've been J-Clone 61.
And we'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Hey guys, thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J-Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye! Bye.